Bhagavatam. This is modern offset printing. Formerly everything was letset. How many of you have still seen letset print? Quite a messy job. My grandfather used to work with letset. Now all these different works which you see here, everything is being done by Srila Prabhupada. He translated the books, edited them, went to the printer, did the proofreading, got the paper, made the corrections. Got the binding done. Everything that happens here in one place. This is how book distribution started in Russia. Initially, undercover food distribution in Russia up till 1989. And then, in 1989, when Gorbachev came and Glasnost, they had an opening, so there was the legal possibility of importing religious books into Russia. So the European BBT sent 200,000 books to Moscow, but they got holed up in the customs warehouse and they would not be released because the officials were still the same people from the communist regime. They did not want to let them out. So the devotees had to fight for 2-3 months to get the books from the customs, from the warehouse, and then started distributing them. Before that, there was only about 100 devotees in Russia, up till 1989. And that big fight, big struggle just to survive. And this video shows how they got the books out and what happened.
Thank you. Before the books were shipped from Germany, the devotees which were the maintaining, they were only devotees which were there in Russia. And the whole Soviet Union, there was maybe 100 devotees all together. So everything started from the books. The temple started from the books, the new devotees started from the books, and millions of books which were distributed after that. Everything started from these 200,000 books.
So, what happened was, they actually got
some 200,000 books in, as I told them, and with the money which they made, they printed 15 million books. 150 lakhs. And that was enough books for the next 10 years. And with those books, all this gun movement started in CIS. And if you want to know how they got the first money to distribute books and to print, actually everything was illegal. Even to own a typewriter was illegal in Russia. So you can't own a typewriter. Everything was government issued. So what to speak of having a printing press? You couldn't go up to companies and get religious books printed. Everything was government controlled. So what the devotees used to do is, there's very few of them, but now enough time has passed so we can tell you that. They bought a video camera, one of those old, you know, video cameras were this big, huge, massive. And in the late 80s, early 90s, there was big student protests in Moscow because of Abkhazia, because of Georgia, Armenia, Uzbek, all these southern states which had conflicts with Moscow. So the students were demonstrating. There was a lot of revolt, a lot of upset, a lot of protest in Moscow. So during these demonstrations, the devotees would go and they would film those protests. And then they would sell those videotapes to the foreign press for big money. Crores of rupees. At the risk of their life, they would do this. One time, the devotees were filming and, you know, people were being beaten and there's a lot of upheaval. And then the devotee was filming and he saw how one student was photographing how a policeman was beating another student. Then another policeman came and killed that photographer right in front. Now they were videoing, but somehow or other Krishna and Lord Ishingare protected them. So then the military and the police got closer and closer and closer, but somehow the circle, there was an opening in the circle, so the devotee put his camera on the back and put his coat around it and just ran out where that little opening was there, that gap. The other devotee got caught and they beat him and put him in jail for 4 days. A lot of devotees went to jail. This Premavati, the one who was preaching so heavily, who was saying you're a bunch of dinosaurs and you should watch the TV what's going on, she was in jail. She lost her baby in jail. So I just met her a few days ago in Mumbai. Very determined devotees. Many died, many got problems, health problems from being beaten. Some were fed heavy drugs, which were mind-altering drugs. So these devotees sacrificed greatly at the risk of their lives just to produce and to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And then later on, once they had the money, they procured a printing press on the black market. But where do you put it? So that one devotee, in the night, they took the street lights out and they broke the wall to his house. And they, because the press is too big, you can't disassemble it, takes too long time. So they broke the wall, moved it into the house, and built the wall back up again. So he had it in his living room.
Overnight?
Yes, overnight. And then they bought paper on the black market and started printing books and distributing books. So that's what was going on before 1989. It's a very dangerous business. Nowadays, you know, we may ask, what is our challenge? What is our difficulty? Like, we are scared, what have we got to lose? Huh? Some people say no, some people say why are you doing this, some people say oh I don't want this. So our biggest challenge in our life is to find our spoon, or is to find our book bag and to get out the door. That's our biggest challenge. And in those days, things were quite opposite. It was survival. It was really difficult. Even I started distributing books in the early 80s. In the West, nobody had heard of yoga, meditation, karma, reincarnation. It was very unheard of, vegetarianism. Nowadays, these are all trends. These are all big trends, and people really like it. I just spoke to Vidwan Gauranga, who is one of our scholars in Mayapur, and I just met him in Tirupati day before yesterday. He goes to buy Sanskrit books for the Kolkata Library, the Bhaktivedanta Research Library. And he has told me that he goes to all these libraries and to all these bookstores to buy traditional books for the library. And the scholars there are saying that since ISKCON is distributing Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, there has been a huge upswing in interest in Vedic literature and in Sanskrit books. So the sales have picked up tremendously since the 70s, since the devotees are distributing massive amounts of Prabhupada's books. So even the outside world is recognizing that there is a change, there is a certain change in pattern, certain change in trend. Now that change is there, the question is just, are we part of it? Right now, today, as we're speaking, India is distributing 56% of the world's ISKCON book distribution. And you know what's the funny thing about it? More than 80% happens in the month of December. Now that tells you something, that there is huge potential for book distribution in this country. And that's just a few spots, that's just a few places who are doing massive book distribution right now in India. You got the Tirupati team, the boys up on the hills, you got about 10 Brahmachari vans in Mayapur, you got something happening in Bombay and something happening in Delhi. And especially in the marathon, people go out to do corporate sankirtan to get lakhs and lakhs of books out. But the rest of the year, there's not that much going on. There's not that much happening. So what I like to do right now in this session is present to you a couple of programs, a couple of methods which books can be distributed so that maybe some of you feel inspired, feel motivated to take part in these activities. Because let's face it, if we tell the devotees book distribution means you've got to take a book back and you've got to get out on the street to the bus stand, not too many can do that. It's not something which everybody can do. But there are different types and methods of book distribution. Like we already discussed the streets, we already saw book tables, and I'm going to present to you a different method of book distribution right now. Srila Prabhupada says, I want that you, all my students, shall very vigorously try for book distribution. This is about distributing Bhagavad Gita for hotels and motels. Team members are taking orders and placing Bhagavad Gita in tens of thousands of motels. Motel owners welcome and support the project. The team members deliver the books and follow up for restocking. Now they had a congress in America. Did you know that 60% of the American motels and hotels are owned by Indians? They're called Patel Motel. And they went to Washington DC to a conference and they set up a booth. And they just took orders from all the motel owners to place Gitas there. It's sponsored. They don't have to pay, they just have to allow us to place the Gita in their motel. So already 10,000 Gitas have been delivered and another 20,000 is pending. It's confirmed. then there's potential for another 20,000 years. So just for one time going to a hotel owners association meeting. So this association, which had their meeting in D.C., 1.3 million rooms are owned by them. Now in India, how many hotel and motel rooms are owned by Hindus? What do you think? Huh?
95%.
No, way more than that. America has 250 million population. You got 1.2 billion population. You have motels and hotels all over the country. And predominantly they're owned by Hindus. Predominantly. So if you find out a strategy, a way how to contact these people, you know, 3-star and up, many times they're ready to even buy the books. 5-star hotels, they're ready to buy the books to put it in the rooms. And all the others, they're ready to put it if you get it sponsored, if you get it donated. Now in Switzerland, a couple of months ago, I went to a car dealership, and he had a table in his showroom next to the car, full of Bibles. So I asked the fellow, what do you do? He says, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm part of the Gideon. Have you heard of the Gideon?
Yeah,
Bible?
Yeah,
they distribute hundreds of millions of Bibles every year, free, to schools, libraries, prisons, hotels, to the army, institutions. Now if they can do it, why can't we do it? We have so many members. It's got maybe 500,000 members and a lot of sympathizers. How many people in India feel strongly about Bhagavad Gita? There's hundreds of millions, at least tens of millions of people. And many of them have businesses. And many of them are ready to contribute to a cause which is doing something very practical. Just like the devotees in England have talked to Air India. And Air India has agreed in all their flights from London going to India. You know when you walk into the airplane, you have to rack with the newspapers and the magazines to put a rack with Bhagavad Gita. They have agreed, in principle, to put that. So if you are a tourist or a businessman boarding a plane in London to go to India, you can pick up your complimentary copy of Bhagavad Gita. And then you're on the plane for 6-7 hours, and you can read that Bhagavad Gita. So that can make a huge impact on people's consciousness. Do you imagine? Because people go into a plane, you know, and you've seen the movies, you've seen the magazines, and you've got Gita, and you read Gita. How many of you are businessmen and have traveled and stayed in hotels and motels over the country or abroad? Anyone? Anyway, you've done your job, you get to the room, you know, you take your shower, there's nothing to see in the TV, really. You already saw the paper in the morning, you're tired, what do? There is a Bhagavad Gita. You pick up the Gita and you read it. It makes a huge impact on people's lives. So, this is from an owner of a motel, Nilesh Patel. He says, I often see guests coming in for breakfast with Bhagavad Gita in hand and reading it while they're in the lobby or the reception room. It is satisfying to know I have contributed in spreading this knowledge. This is just a regular person, regular Hindu who owns his motel in Super 8, Sacramento, California. He's happy to distribute Bhagavad Gita. This is a guest, Terrence, an American person. I got my first Gita at a hotel room, and ever since I read the first verse, my life has been ever increasingly in Krishna consciousness. Life is a journey back to Krishna, peace. So there's plenty of people who become devotees or devotionals just by getting a Gita like that. Millions of Bibles are placed free of cost. Motel owners have similar expectations for Gitas. Contacting, marketing, follow-up, execution needs devotee power, resource, infrastructure, and team. Gitas taken away by motel guests need to be restocked. You know, you go back every couple of months to restock the Gitas because some of them go missing. So the Prophet says, so kindly help me, this is my request. Print as many books in as many languages and distribute throughout the whole world. Then Krishna conscious movement will automatically increase. So, how many of you think that this motel and hotel Gita project could be done here in India? Okay, who is inspired to get this project going here in Coimbatore?
Okay. You got five people. Build a team. Get together. Make an action plan. It's not so difficult. You see, you have the great advantage. Your city here is not too large and not too small. Right? 2 million people. It's the perfect size. It's like, you know, you can make a laboratory experiment. Like before you do something on a huge scale, you do it on a smaller scale. Right? You go to the lab and you try something out. So you can afford to make a few mistakes. There's no harm in it. You just get going. You just get started. You make a plan and you start executing it. Do you think it will make a big difference if devotees thought like that? We have congregational pockets of devotees all over India, all over the country. If each and every one of our congregational leaders would take responsibility for taking part in the book distribution efforts, start training devotees in their teams how to present Bhagavad Gita as it is, it would make a huge difference, would make a huge impact. Now, many times devotees ask me, well, why are you still giving these workshops? Why are you still distributing books, you know? Those who want to do it, those who don't want to do it, don't. Isn't it like that? But I have seen that a lot of devotees, basically speaking, everybody wants to distribute books. But it's just the initial start, you know, is a little difficult. It's like jumping into the cold water. How many of you ever jumped into the cold water? You had the experience? There's no water geyser. I mean, here it's always hot, so you don't have that experience so much. But you must have traveled and been to places where it's likely cold. So what do you do?
Hold your breath and jump.
Huh? Hold your breath and jump. Yes. At one point, you have to make what's called a leap of faith. You have to just get going. But if you go there, I can't distribute any books. At one point, you just have to get into it. You just have to get started. Remember, Sankirtan is fun and easy. So, then, we can have little manuals, workshops, PowerPoint presentations, how to present Gitas to the motel and hotel owners, how to put up a book table in a mall, how to put up a book table at Hindu temples. How many Hindu temples are within 1 hour drive from Coimbatore, 1 or 2 hour drive? Do you have some traditional temples here in this area? So many are there. Do they have books? No. Very few, very few. Most of them, they just do some puja or they just have some festival. So, if you learn the art of making friends with them and getting their permission, you'll be allowed to put a book table on their major festival, outside or inside the premises, whatever. And you'll be distributing thousands and tens of thousands of books. Wonderful. Wonderful. But it can be expanded. It can be expanded. You make a list of all the temples within 2 hours drive. You see who are the main functions, where the big gatherings are happening. And then you make teams. I mean, let's face it. You're here in engineering south. Huh? Everybody's a systems man, isn't it? Everything runs by systems. So you set up the system, and then you can put the volume, you can feed the numbers into it. But it all starts with a few individuals who say, yes, I want to do this. I'm in. Yes, I want to do this. So I still do these seminars to find a few who have that missionary, that revolutionary spirit. Now I know there are few, but most of the devotees are ready to follow a leader. Once they see somebody who's leading, they're ready to follow the cause. So if you get spots at malls, at trade fairs, at temples, at cultural programs, after a while you get to know the game, what's really happening, what kind of crowd, in which places, what's really favorable. And then you can plug in a congregation of hundreds and thousands of devotees, where each and every one will just do 2 or 3 hours of book distribution a week. Are you ready to go 2 or 3 hours a week?
If you don't have to break your head, where will the books come from? Where will the table come from? Where will the prasad come from? Who will get the authorization? If you can just go somewhere, 2 or 3 hours a week, and be there, your happy, smiling self, and talk to people and give out a few books. How many of you would do it? Everybody, right? Even I would go, you know? Because it's easy. So all you have to do is, you have to decide on a strategy, and you have a few team leaders, and you have regular meetings, and you make the game plan. Now, what's the difference between a star and a team player? Can somebody explain it to me? Yes. The star leads from the front. Okay. Now if you're a star and you're scoring a century, but your team loses, are you very happy? No. Why not? Because your team lost. Exactly. So who cares whether you distribute 50 books or 100 books? What we care is, what is the team doing? You see, I see Coimbatore as a team. You're a team here. Why is it that so many nations who are very small, and they're not, you know, very sophisticated nations, but they always win in the Olympics, they always win in the World Championships? Because from when the kids start off playing sports when they're small, they're trained, you are a team player. You have to serve the team. Whereas in other nations, everybody wants to be a star. Because being a star means you get the money and you get the glory, right? But we are not looking for stars here. You get my point? We're looking for team players. That is what is actually important. So, we'll talk more about strategy later on. What I'd like to do right now is, I'd like to show you, is there any questions to this? Yes. No, there is no hard and fast rules. If you can't do corporate, then you just do something else. There is unlimited ways how you can distribute Prabhupada's books. So don't think, if I can't go company to company and get the big fish to get 5,000 meters, then I can't do this. Or if I can't run around on the street, you know, in a bus station or on the red light, then I can't do this. Like you saw those ladies, they just stand at a book table on a weekend, in a mall. That's not very difficult. It's quite easy. Or you go door to door in your own neighborhood. How many of you could go 1 or 2 hours a week in your own neighborhood and distribute books just walking door to door where you live in your area? Who could do that? Okay, so you start doing that. You know, there was a devotee in America. He was at home, and there came a lady and knocked on his door, presenting Bibles. So he asked her, "Excuse me, my dear lady, I know it's not a nice thing to ask, but can you tell me how old are you?" She said, "I'm 82. He said, "Okay, can you tell me how often you do this?" She said, "5 days a week for 1 hour." She goes door to door showing Bibles to people. Now I got a question to you. If an 82-year-old lady gets the strength, the courage, the conviction to go out 1 hour per day for 5 days a week to show Bibles to people in her neighborhood, why can't we do it? Somebody tell me. What's the difficulty? There's no difficulty. You just go around your neighborhood. Now initially you might say, "I'm not too familiar," or "I'm not too, you know, sure." You know what? You don't even know your neighborhood. Most of the people like live nowadays in these housing complexes, right? You have 100 family in your unit. How many do you know? Maybe 10, maybe 20. What about the other 80? never seen them, never talked to them. And even the others, they'd be very happy. If they see you doing some charity work for a noble cause, they will think, this is very honorable, you know. I've gotten so much good feedback from devotees. You know, they have in Maharashtra, they do this some Kranti thing. Do they do that in the South, giving gifts in January? Sometimes. So they've inspired some of the old ladies to give books of Prabhupada as gifts. And the feedback which they got was so positive. People were saying, why did you wait so long to give me this gift, you know? Now it's almost too late. I'm so old. I can't do much anymore, you know? Why did you wait so long before you gave me this Bhagavad Gita? So you'd be surprised how much positive response you'll be getting from people. Going door to door, it's a great thing. You know, Lord Chaitanya, he sent Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, go door to door. And they were knocking on people's doors. They Bhaja Krishna, Bhava Krishna, Koro Krishna Shika. Huh? You chant Hare Krishna, you worship Krishna, you surrender your life to him. And that's the way how they would spread Krishna consciousness. It's a traditional way. You can fall at their feet and beg them. That always works, right? Your Guru Maharaj has given the... I read that story in a magazine where he went to that police station and he made full dandavat. And he just won the heart of that police chief. If you're just sincere and nice, people will always appreciate it. And always bring some prasadam with you. So what's the big deal? You're doing it anyway, you're cooking anyway for the family. So you make a few sweets, you know, you put it in a little box, those metal boxes, you open it, you give them a sweet, say Hare Krishna, you give them a book, like that. Now, sometimes you might give them a book for reading, they might not be willing to purchase. So I say, okay, you keep it. You know, Ravi Shyam does that all the time. He gave college programs, because college is on the list here, so we got to cover colleges. When you go to a college, you give a topical lecture, isn't it, Maharaj? So if you give a topical lecture, let's say, for instance, on science of self-realization, or on life comes from life, or on Shish or Panishad, or any of them, you give a topical lecture on a particular book, on Bhagavad Gita, and then after the lecture, you hold up the book, and you make it available to the students. And many will want to buy it. Now some others, they will want to have a look at it. So you just say, okay, you keep it. Till next month, till I come back and do the program again. And then most people buy it, you know. Because many of them, they either tore it or lost it or misplaced it. So they just have to buy it. Huh? So you try it. You make a little presentation about a small book, you give a little class about it, everybody thinks, wow, this is really great, this kid knows how to give a presentation on this book. And then you ask them, whoever wants to buy it, 5 or 10, 20 people will buy it, some more will just take it. And in this way, you will introduce, one after the other, all the different titles, all the different books. That's an easy way how to distribute books in colleges. Then, of course, you make your Bhakti Yoga clubs, your Hare Krishna gatherings, where you start studying Prabhupada's books systematically. And then people will actually want to have those books. Now, I got a question to you. I know you're all in digestive mode, but how many of you own a full set of Prabhupada's books? Okay, that's about 20%. Of the audience here. Now I think our first and foremost business is to get a full set of Prabhupada's books ourselves. Because if we don't have it, how can we give it to others? We can't give what we don't have, right? So first, we have to get the books ourselves. Now, you might say, okay, full set of books is 10,000 rupees. I don't have 10,000 rupees.
No problem.
No problem, says Maharaj. Very charitable.
We'll take it to
Exactly. I already wanted to say free gift, but Maharaj said installment. So you might say, okay, 10,000 rupees will give you 0% interest. You pay 1,000 rupees per month. You can't pay 10,000, but you can pay 1,000, right? Everybody can pay 1,000 rupees a month. If you're really pressed and tight for money, pay 500. Can you do that? That's possible, right? So you choose either 500 or 1,000. So it takes you either 10 months or it takes you 1.5 years. Big deal. So what? A couple of times sleeping, you know? And the books are paid. Automatic pilot. So you just have faith. You just make that set program. You start talking about the full set. You make a little installation program where the pujari goes with the set. You have a little arti, a little puja. You chant some slokas about the glories of Bhagavatam. And you give a little prasadam. And you install a full set of prophet's books in the home like a deity. And they invite all their friends and their family members and their contacts. And you know what happens? At this gathering, 2, 3, 4 people would say, hey, I want this too. I want the full set too. And in this way it spreads. And everybody gets a full set of books. Now, can you do this here?
Yes.
Can be done. Alright. So do it. Huh? Let's do it. Now, every big journey starts with a first few small steps. So we have to convince ourselves that this is what we want to do. But if even our own members don't have the books, if even many of our own members are not reading the books, then what are we talking about going out there convincing other people if our own people are not convinced? Srila Prabhupada said, I only have one criticism of my disciples. That is, they're not reading my books enough. Now I'm going to hammer this point, you know. I know there's different types of power, you know. One is the hammer. The hammer stands for what? What kind of power is that? Coercive power, exactly. My way or the highway. Boom. The second one is expedient power, money. Now I'm not going to bribe you, because you're all well-to-do and wealthy and, you know, well-established people. But that's another way how to, another type of power. You offer bribe, right? And what's the third type of power? The most convincing, the most wholesome, the most natural. What keeps the world going around? Huh? The power of love. If you actually have love, you will move beyond expectations. Just like all these young boys and girls who gave their lives to Prabhupada. Why? Because they love Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada was their life and soul. They just wanted to please Swamiji. So if you feel the same way about your Guru Maharaj, if you feel the same way about the ISKCON movement, now I've got some homework for you to do. Write down, how do you feel about ISKCON? With all the pros and cons? And how do you feel about the BBT? Now some of you might say, the BBT, what is that? You know? Is this the guys who have an office in Bombay or in Los Angeles? Or is this an American corporation? Or what is the BBT? Well, maybe we should start discussing what is the BBT. Because unless you feel strongly about the BBT and about these books, it's going to be very difficult for you to actually present it in a very authoritative way. So in this way, we should have training programs, and I'm sure you already do because you got the academy. So you're doing Bhakti Shastri. So you've done all the major books, right? You already covered all that ground. It's already under your belt, isn't it? You're already mastering it.
For some, yes.
So there should be a systematic program how each and every member is encouraged and facilitated to take Bhakti Shastri. Some of them in shorter, others in longer modules, like that. Introductory courses, courses for youngsters, courses for old folks, all sorts of stuff. Then you start to have weekly gatherings. What do you call them? Bhakti Vriksha or? It's going on. How many groups?
Maybe
15 groups. Okay. So if at the Bhakti Vriksha group, the Bhakti Vriksha leaders start to introduce different books and make different seminars to the members and start talking about different concepts of outreach, like door-to-door, like book tables, and start to get their own congregation organized, start to get those people into action mode. What do you think? Is this possible? There's an overwhelming enthusiasm. There is an overwhelming audience response here. Audience participation is at an all-time high. I know usually about, 1 to 2 hours after you've eaten lunch, you're at an all-time low in energy because all the blood is in the stomach, So the brain is feeling kind of, I can hear your mind. Your mind is saying, okay, is there some more videos here and some more stories? There's going to be some more fun here? Yes, just now coming. But I told you, I'm going to hammer you a little bit, It's like every now and then you have to take out the whip. So, stay with me, work with me, people. This is just to get your brain going a little bit into action mode. Because after this, we're going to ask you the question, what is it that you are going to do to make book distribution part of your life? How are you going to implement what you've learned in these 3 days? What's your plan for 2010? I want to hear that from you. So it's going to be part of your homework till tomorrow. You write down an action plan. It can be bullet points or it can be as detailed as possible. What am I going to do personally? And what I'm going to do with my team means my circle of influence, my family, my Namhata group, my few buddies, devotees. What are we going to do to make a difference? To put book distribution on the map here in Coimbatore. Because so far, I understand, a few books are going out, and a few devotees are going out. And a few books go missing, and a few books get stolen, and a few books get misplaced by the brahmacharis down in the ashram. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about massive book distribution. Because once you start making that phone call to Bhima Prabhu in Mumbai, they will have that lorry on its way down here to Coimbatore. Right? He's just waiting for that call. They're ready to facilitate you in whichever way needed. But it requires local engagement, local involvement. So, we're going to see some more videos about book distribution. And I ask you, wash the eyes and wash the hands. Now, this is in America. And I was doing the last tour. We distributed books in 46 shows. Every show was like 20,000 young people coming. And we covered 20,000 miles, that's 32 or 33,000 kilometers, in about 2 months driving. 6 to 8 hours driving every day, 6 to 8 hours distributing every day. And there were rock concerts, where there's a lot of young kids, and we presented Srila Prabhupada's books to them. So you see, the approach, the dress, the style is slightly different, but since you understand how to extract or extrapolate from a principle to detail, you can adopt it, time, place, and circumstance. So these are 4 young guys, they're all about 14 years old. Everybody gets a book in their hand. Talk to everybody, explain a few things, make them laugh, make them feel at ease, ask them questions and answers, and then
I asked them to give a donation. Now, if you have a group of 4 or 5 people, most likely not everybody will get the money out, right? Not everybody will want to pay. So what I do is, I tell, if one of you gives 500 rupees, it will be for everybody. You understand? I get one person to be the donor, the sponsor, for the whole group of them. Now in every team, you have one person who wants to be the generous guy. Now this kid gave me $20, it's like 1,000 rupees. So they all got a book. There's always one person who wants to do that. You'd be surprised. If not, go for the person who immediately wants to take it, and then all the others will follow because of social pressure. See how happy he is? See how ecstatic he is? He's smiling like anything because he's the generous guy. He's the one who just bought a book from each and every one of his friends. Then he talk a little more, make everybody happy, then he move on. Any questions to group distribution? Like on book tables, many times they come in groups, isn't it? Friends, families, like that. There is always the funny guy, the critical guy, the guy who is against everything, the positive guy, the interested guy. Make sure you immediately get in contact with the leader, and you immediately get going with that interested person. And you get one person to take a book. Immediately. And a lot of times, because one person takes the book, all the others will follow. Have you ever seen that? If one buys, everybody buys. Now, if you start arguing and saying negative stuff with the person who is negative, what happens? Everybody walks away. Because one guy starts walking away, everybody starts walking away. Now how many times have you started an interaction and you have a person they're interested, but part of his group left? Sorry for that.
Hare Krishna.
How many times have you tried? You have a team of people or you have a family unit, one person stays and looks and the other people leave. And you preach for 10-15 minutes. And then a person says, but I don't have the money. Did that ever happen to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what do you do in that case? Huh? Less price book. No. Not what you do. Immediately when one person stops and the other people start walking, you say, hey, who's got the money here? Come back. Come back here. Okay, we got some action going on here. Okay? That's what you have to do. Otherwise, you put 10-15 minutes into this presentation and they walk. And if the money walks, it's all gone, man. Not gonna happen. You got it? No, don't think they're gonna come back. Forget it. Once they're gone, they're gone. So as soon as they start walking, you say, hey, money! Leave the money here. Okay, then you can walk off. You don't want to do that? Okay, stay here. Because this person is interested. Okay? That's what you got to do. Otherwise, you waste a lot of time and a lot of energy. Okay? So in groups, there's so many different things you can do when you have groups of people. Just try to be fair with everybody. But understand you can't please everyone. There will always be people who will not agree with you. There will always be people who are not interested in what you got to do, what you got to say. So just leave them be. Don't make them upset. Just be nice to them. Leave them be. And they'll be nice to you. And they'll allow their friends to buy the book. But if you provoke them, if you harass them, if you push them, they will turn against you. And they will use whatever clout, whatever energy they have, to coerce their friends not to buy the book. Have you ever seen that happen? People turning against you because you either neglected them or you said something which you shouldn't have or you wanted to smash them a little bit? Huh? Then it's not going to happen. So I'm just going to show you a couple of videos. Here you see we're loading the books.
This was a van, like one of those vans you got down here. We fill it up every week with a few thousand books, and we empty it out every week. Fill it up, empty it out. Fill it up, empty it out. So I'm asking, when are you going to have the traveling Sankirtan party buses from ISKCON Coimbatore? Huh? Now, what do you prefer? I'm asking you. And I know it's a little early in the afternoon, but still I'm going to ask you. What do you prefer? 20 brahmacharis distributing 30 books 5 days a week? Or 300 congregational members distributing 10 books a week each? What do you prefer? Congregation. Who wants brahmacharis? Nobody. Anything else? Any other options? I want both. I want both. Like when they ask you at the feast, what do you want? Do you want Malpura or you want samosa? What's your answer? Both. Why you want both? Huh? Why do you want both? Because both are tasty. Because you're smart people, right? So you want both. We want 300 congregational members going out, doing 10 books each a week. How much is that? How many books is that? 3,000 books. Is it difficult to distribute 10 books a week? Small books, medium books? It's one or two books a day. It can be done, right? It's possible. That's 3,000 books. How many books are you doing right now a month on an average? And yes, we want 20 brahmacharis doing 30 books a day, 5 days a week, in traveling Sankirtan and in bus service. We want it, because it's good. Either way, you see the mind always says either this or that, but the solution is usually both, or a third alternative. This is real time. It's not much sound because we don't have remote mics. You tell me what happens. Okay, what just happened? This is real time. This is less than a minute. This is 51 seconds. There's no cuts. It's just filmed from beginning to end. I walk up to the car. I greet them. I give books to one person. I move over. I give books to his friend. I go back. I finish up with the first one. I get his donation. I move over to the second friend. I finish up with him, get his donation. And everybody goes home happy. Less than a minute. Now from the outside you don't really see what's going on, right? You don't really see what's happening. But what's happening here is, I understand what's their mindset. I understand. They're going to a concert, they want to go and hear music. I talk to them in such a way that they like me, that they relate to me. I show the book to them, I say something nice, they're interested, they give me a donation. Everybody walks off. Don't think that when you distribute books that people have to actually, you know, very few will say, oh yeah, you know, I've been looking for this everywhere around the world, you know, or yes, I got up this morning and I thought I'm going to go and buy Bhagavad Gita. People will just, you know, spur of the moment, just out of the blue, emotional decision, they will take it. That's how most of the people will take a book of Prabhupada.
those who actually go out and deliberately go to a bookshop or to a book table and they purchase a book. It's a very small percentage. Very small percentage. But it's not only books which are sold this way. So many other things are sold this way. Now, when you go out, sometimes you meet characters, you know, like people who are not too nice. So, here we have jug eyes and mud eyes. And it's quite interesting.
It's a movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, so that fellow, he asked, are you the monk? And then Advaita Charya, the devotee who's doing the video, he says, yes, we're the monk. And then he asks him, can you repeat something for me?
I want you to say something for the monk.
The devotee says, no, you have to repeat after me. Now these kids, they didn't even go inside the concert. They were just partying outside on the parking lot, you know, getting drunk on beer and rolling around and doing their jagai madai activities. After 3 hours, they were still there chanting Hare Krishna. Manifesting all the ecstatic symptoms, you know? So, when you distribute Prabhupada's books, just ask people, do you believe in the power of mantra? Do you believe in the power of prayer? And most people will say yes. And he asks them, can you repeat after me? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then they have a direct experience of the holy name. And they become blissful. Many times people ask us, okay, what's in these books? And you say, Hare Krishna. And then they say, okay, Hare Krishna, fine, fair enough. Like when you give out prasadam, they always ask, what's in this, you know? Are these special cookies? What's in there? And you say, Krishna. And then they taste it, and then they say, Hare Krishna. And then they see, it works. Huh? So never underestimate the power of the holy name, never underestimate the power of prasadam. Use them. They are a secret weapon. One time I was distributing books in an airport in America, believe it or not, I've done a few airports. And, let me tell you this after this video, because otherwise I have to turn it on and off all the time. This is Canada, Calgary. It's a big racetrack where they do car races. There was a concert.
What's going on here?
So they're parking all the cars.
Oh, line up.
That's me, that's another video. We're distributing books to all the people who come there. His rolly bag is full of books. See this line of cars? They're coming in slowly, slowly, and they park them up, they line them up. For these concerts or events, you know, they line up the cars. So wherever you have an event around Coimbatore, wherever you have a car park, did anybody try to work car parks? You can work them anywhere. At the malls, at the airports, at the fairs, at the venues. Because whoever has got a car, they've got money. It's as easy as that. If you got a car, you got money. So you can take a book. And then we were 4 or 5 devotees. Sometimes, I'll show you a video later on. At one concert, we were 25 devotees distributing. So they line up the cars. And to every car, you know, there's 4 or 5 people inside the car. And then usually the windows are open because it's hot. So then 4 devotees go in through all the windows and distribute books to all the people who are inside the car.
That's a long line up there.
That was my best day in Canada. I distributed 350 books. Mahabhut. That was this summer. What happened? Put the book in their hand, show them your ID badge, okay, we're legitimate, we're from ISKCON, or we're doing this, we're doing that. Say a little something, keep everybody busy and occupied, and then just collect the donation. How difficult is that?
What's
his
ID?
Huh? We had VIP passes from the concert. Because we've been cultivating the organizers for 15 years, so they give us VIP, all access passes. We can work the parking lot, we can work the lineup, front stage, center stage, backstage, anywhere, all access. Because we give prasadam to all the musicians and to all the management. You see, if you actually start making friends with people, they will be very happy to have you on board. Because the devotees are unique. You see? Devotees are unique people. Everybody likes to be around devotees. But you have to make that effort. Get out of your comfort zone and get out there and make friends with people. And you'll be surprised. You talk to those company people, I believe there's quite a bit of mills here still around Coimbatore, no? If you make friends with some of them, they allow you to set up bookstalls. You know that day when they have payday? Do they get cash or do they get checks?
Cash.
Wonderful. Cash is king. Now you're talking my language. So, you just put up a book table right there at the office where they walk out with the cash. And you know what's the first thing they see when they walk out of that office? It's the Hare Krishnas with the Bhagavad Gita. Have you ever tried this? You think it can be done? Devotees have been doing it for decades. In Russia, they go to the coal mine. Yeah, let me get this back on. In Russia, in Siberia, they go to the coal mines, they go to the gold and diamond mines where people work under the ground. I heard the devotees also went to the Sundarbans, to the coal miners, and put up book tables there. The devotees from Chaupati did it. It's tough, you know, because coal miners, I mean, afterwards you're like black. Your Brahma thread is black. Everything is black, you know, except your teeth. They might be the only thing which is still white. Everything else is like, you're covered in black. So they go where, either outside of the office where they get paid, or in Russia what they do is they went to the place where they get changed. You know, the men are working, the miners, where they take showers. It's a very dirty place. They put a table there and explain, and put the books, the set. And the coal miners just have to sign their name. They just have a sheet where you have to write in your name and signature. And then the office will give you the money. You immediately give them a box of books. And then the office at the end, because you've given them cakes and flowers and nice pictures and a lot of affection. So they'll give you the money. You understand? You have to see teamwork. I had a friend of mine, Anirudha Shivapu, in one day, he sold hundreds and hundreds of full sets. He sold like 3,000 books like this, Mahabooks, in one day. Just by selling full sets. I have another friend in Delhi, Rakesh Oberoi. He goes to the company guys and he gets them to buy 5,000, 15,000 meters. In the last marathon, one company owner, he bought 35,000 Bhagavad Gita's. Now you may think that's very difficult, but for some of these people, to buy one book or to buy 30,000 books, you know, it's not a big thing. Once they're convinced, they do it. So do you think this can be done here?
Yeah.
Definitely. Maybe not everybody can do it, but some of you can do it. Now, I still owe you that Prashadam story. I was distributing books in an airport in America, and I have one person and he holds that book. And somehow he's attracted, but somehow he can't get it, you know, he just doesn't buy it. So I try this way, that way, that way, that way, you know, all the different, from all 10 directions, I try to give him the book, and he just won't get it. So, till at one point it makes click, and he says, 1987, Rainbow Gathering, I ate donuts, dumplings, dipped in strawberry yogurt sauce. And he described strawberry Malpura. Now I don't know how many of you had. You've all tasted Malpura?
Yeah.
You've tasted Malpura which was dipped in yogurt sauce?
No.
No. Okay, that's an American invention. You've got to try it someday. You take strawberry yogurt and you dip Malpura in it. It's pretty much out of this world. It's a pretty bombastic combination. So, he asked me, is this the same thing? I said, this is the same thing, this is the same taste. He said, how much? How much? I want to buy this. Because he had tasted 15 years ago, he had tasted prasadam. And it was so extraordinary that it stuck, the information is stuck in his brain, you know, in his chip. He can't get it out, he can't erase it. So once you make the connection between that one positive experience, whether it be Harinam, whether it be Rath Yatra, whether it be Prasadam, whatever, or that happy devotee they saw someplace, and you connect that with the book, you've got yourself a book distributed. Does that make sense? And everybody has one positive experience with the devotees. Everybody. And if not, then you are that positive experience. And maybe they're not taking the book from you, but they will take it from the other devotee, from the next devotee. Now that's something glorious, isn't it? That's selfless service. That's selfless surrender and sacrifice. They won't get the book from you. They will get it from the next person. Can you live with that?
Yes.
Can you? Are you sure?
Yes.
Or no, I want to now. You have to take this now. Because tomorrow it's not going to happen. It's not going to be good anymore, you know? Marathon is over. No. Be, you know, long-term vision? You remember our principles and values? This is ongoing. People are going to come around, you know? They're going to see you and see you and see you again and again and again and again and again. So sometimes it takes 2, 3, 4 positive interactions before a person buys a book. How many of you needed more than one time before they got the book? How many of you had a couple of experiences before you actually took the book? Yeah, that's quite a number of devotees. So, how many of you just immediately, first time, bought it? Very few. But sometimes, you know, it takes some time to get actually familiar with it. Now, if you want to see how usually, what usually happens in these concerts in America, I'll show you something. But I'm not going to put the sound on. It's like war, you know? It's called punk rock. I don't know how many of you have heard of punk rock. It's not classical South Indian dance, you know? So these are the same kids who are every year they're buying one of Prabhupada's books and they're very happy to read them. Now, what's the time?
3:20. And we're running till? 5, okay. So I think we gotta have a break here, 15-minute break. Okay? So I'd like you to be all back here by 3:30 for the second session of the afternoon. Hare Krishna.